Welcome back to Community Christian Church Montgomery Podcast. The following message was recorded live on Sunday, March 8th at the community's Montgomery location. This week, we hear from Community Pastor Mitchell Shiver as we continue our series, Hero Maker. Community in Montgomery meets on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11 at 131 Montgomery Road in Montgomery, Illinois. For more information about Community, visit us online at communitychristian.org. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you on a Sunday soon.
He called me a gift from God, to be a son. A firstborn is to be cherished. There are moments that shape us, tools given to illuminate the path we travel. He saw things in me I never knew I had. Character, patience, courage. And he looked for ways to call those out of me, to activate the gifts in me. Looking back, he made me the hero I always wanted to be. Hero makers create platforms for others to stand on, a gift I could stand on.
How hard can it be? Now, how many of you have asked that question or heard that question asked when faced with a home improvement project? We know it as DIY, do it yourself. But how hard can it be? After all, we know that all we need to do is type in a few search terms and up pops on Google a step-by-step instructions on how to tackle whatever it is that we are trying to tackle, the do-it-yourself project that might at first seem so daunting, but how hard can it be? Now, several years ago, Megan and I bought our first home, and I decided I was going to tackle some DIY projects. And before you begin laughing hysterically, I did successfully tackle a couple like this one. I ventured out to make a kitchen table. And so I did have someone's help, but I was able to successfully construct this table that is still standing. It's a little wobbly, and one edge is a little cut wrong, but that we're not looking at those details. And then recently, I was able to successfully change out some light fixtures in our house, and this is an example of that. And so, please, hold your applause, the oohs and ahs. But we love DIY projects, but have you ever had a DIY project go wrong, like this guy, who apparently didn't, maybe he should have asked the IKEA employees to come to his house and assemble the chair, doesn't look too comfortable to sit in, or how about this one? Now, I've never done a toilet repair, but I'm pretty sure that's not how it's supposed to go. Or this is my favorite, you need a new shower head? Just pop a beer can on there, and solution is there. Now, some of you, admittedly, you need to admit this, you're like, wow, that is impressive. You think that guy is a genius for coming up with that solution, but we love to tackle these kind of projects. We love the DIY projects, I think, because it gives us a sense of accomplishment, doesn't it? I mean, we successfully handle a do-it-yourself project, and we kind of rise up and feel good about ourselves, and we love to tackle those kind of projects. In fact, there are some, though, that we should not tackle. We should not tackle these projects. There's this article on HowStuffWorks.com that listed the top 5 DIY projects you should never do yourself. You want to know what the number 1 project you should never do yourself was? Gas appliance repairs. Okay, so I feel like it's partly my responsibility to save your life, and so please, as your pastor, do not attempt a gas appliance repair yourself. Now, there are some things we know that are better left to the professionals. There are some things we know that are better left to the people who are trained, the people who are certified, the people who are equipped to carry out those jobs. But what I want to talk about today is something that was never meant to be left to the professionals. I want to talk about today something that we are meant to DIY, that it's not just for the professionals. We are in week four, as Lauren mentioned, of our series Hero Maker, where we've been talking about the challenge and calling that Jesus has given every single person who calls themselves a follower of him to make that shift from being heroes to hero makers. And Jesus says this in Matthew 28 when he says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, this is called, if you've been with us, the Great Commission. And just a heads up, if anything has a capital G for great in front of it, it's something we probably should pay attention to. And Jesus commissions us as his followers to make disciples, or as we call, apprentices to Jesus, meaning that we've got to shift from being heroes of the story to being hero makers. Now, I don't want to disappoint you or shock you, but you and I are not the heroes of the story. Jesus has called us to be hero makers, to make disciples or apprentices of Jesus in other people. And when Jesus calls us to be hero makers, he didn't just talk about it. He didn't just say, "Hey, guys, go out, make disciples, good luck, hope it goes well for you, just remember everything I've said and you'll be okay." Now, Jesus also modeled it for us. Jesus thought like a hero maker. He didn't just teach information, but he selected men who would carry out his mission, his disciples. But Jesus saw like a hero maker. Jesus saw things in other people that they did not, in fact, see in themselves. And he drew out their potential to carry out the mission. And Jesus lived like a hero maker. That it wasn't just about disseminating that information or the critical things to know, but it was about living a life as a follower, carrying out his mission. He thought, he saw, and he lived like a hero maker. But that's where hero making does not stop. Because today we're going to talk about how, as Jesus calls us to be hero makers, we are called to send people out, to release them to accomplish his mission. We are called to bless people. Now, we see this in the life of Jesus. In fact, at the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus gathers his apprentices, the men that he had spent 3 years pouring his life into them, that he had spent investing in them. He gathers them together, and he releases them to be hero makers. In fact, that's what the Great Commission is all about. That if we're going to be serious about fulfilling the Great Commission, we have to be about investing in other people. That what Jesus has done for us does not terminate and end with us. In fact, Luke describes what Jesus did this way. When he says, "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven." Now, I want you to notice how it says that Jesus blessed them. That Jesus blessed them. And around community, we talk about how we believe that we are called to be a blessing to other people. That we are blessed to be a blessing. And that we see our life as being for the purpose of blessing others. And if you've been around here a while, you've likely heard us talk about the blessed practices, which are 5 simple and tangible ways that we can be a blessing to the people and places around us. But what I'm talking about today is a different kind of blessing. In fact, what I'm talking about today is a special kind of blessing that we call commissioning. And in fact, I'm really excited because later in the service, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to receive this kind of blessing, to be commissioned as a hero maker. But here's what I want us to understand right from the start, that Jesus has called us to bless others. That as a Christ follower, we are called and commissioned by him to be a blessing to other people. And that is the challenge today. So when I talk about commissioning, what do I mean? What does it mean to commission someone? See, commissioning is something that appears all throughout Scripture. The idea of blessing appears right from the beginning in the book of Genesis, where God blesses his creation. We see this sort of blessing in Scripture when a person or a group of people lay hands on and bless another person. We see this, of course, in this section of scripture in Luke as Jesus blesses his apprentices. Now, here's this sort of image that you might have in your mind. This seems like some sort of a official ceremony where, you know, people walk out in some really shiny robes and maybe Jesus takes a shiny sword and sort of knights his apprentices on each shoulder as a way of commissioning them, as a way of blessing them. That's not what we're talking about here. So I hate to disappoint you if you like a shiny sword to come. Maybe we'll bring a shiny sword out, I don't know. But that the kind of blessing that we're talking about is a blessing in which power is transferred from one person to another. In fact, Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann describes this kind of blessing as the capacity to transmit energy and power for life from one to another. There is this kind of empowering that is happening when we talk about blessing and commissioning. And so blessing in Scripture is when someone calls on God through the power of the Holy Spirit to empower and equip another person to accomplish the mission. That's the kind of blessing, not only that Jesus gave his apprentices, but the kind of blessing that Jesus gives to us. Now, here's the thing. At the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus didn't just gather his disciples together, huddle them up, and say, guys, come here. I got to tell you something really important. It's been a great run. It's been a great 3 years. We've seen a lot of cool things happen. But I need to let you know that in a few days, I'm headed out. And I'm not going to be around. So, peace out. That's not the kind of blessing that Jesus is giving his disciples. It's in this moment that Jesus blesses his apprentices and empowers them to carry out the mission. Because remember, the mission is too big and too important for one hero to accomplish all by themselves. But that it needs hero makers who see themselves and their life as being for the purpose of blessing others. Jesus describes this kind of blessing in John chapter 7 when he says this. Speaking to a crowd in Jerusalem, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." Jesus mentions rivers. He doesn't say a pond or a trickling stream, but a river of living water will flow from them. And this tells us something about what it means to be a blessing. That it is not meant to just hold on tightly to, but that it is meant and for the purpose of flowing out from us. Jesus says that your very life will be a river of living water. And here's what's fascinating. 600 years before Jesus said this, the prophet Ezekiel described a vision in which a river would flow from the temple in Jerusalem. And that river would start out as a trickle, and as it extended out from the temple, that river would grow a deeper and wider to the point where it flowed 12 miles out from the temple, almost impossible to cross because it was so deep and so wide, and everywhere it flowed, that river brought life. Ezekiel described it this way: swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows from there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. Did you catch that? Everything will live. And here's what's fascinating about this vision. As the river flows from the south steps of the temple, 12 miles out, it reaches the place that we know as the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea. Self-explanatory. It's called the Dead Sea because there is nothing living at the Dead Sea. It's dead. It's a salt wasteland. Megan and I had the opportunity last year to visit Israel and visit the Dead Sea and even float in the Dead Sea. And I won't show you that picture because this is a family environment and I don't want children to run and hide. But the reason that you can float in the Dead Sea is because there's so much salt. It is so dense that your body just floats on the surface. There is nothing living at the Dead Sea. But in Ezekiel's vision, it is that place in which life flourishes. The place that's a total wasteland, the place that there's nothing growing, nothing flourishing, nothing living. It's in that exact place that Ezekiel has this vision that things will flourish, that there is fruit, that there is abundance. You may be asking, why are you bringing this up? Here's why I'm bringing this up. Because everything that Jesus blesses flourishes. Everything that Jesus blesses flourishes. See, Jesus told his disciples that streams of living water will flow from them. And at the end of his earthly ministry, he empowered them and commissioned them to go out and make apprentices. And then he promised to send the Holy Spirit, which they later were sent and empowered with, to carry out this mission. And something incredible happens shortly after this commissioning. In Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up and he's proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus. And he's preaching his heart out, and at the end of that message, 3,000 people were baptized. 3,000 people found their way back to God. You want to know what's fascinating? Is that it's very likely that Peter was preaching these words on the south steps of the temple, the very place in which Ezekiel had a vision that the river would start and flow out from there. 3,000 people that day found their way back to God. 3,000 people experienced the life-giving power of Jesus to go out from there and make apprentices of him. 3,000. This is the kind of power that Peter is talking about. This is the kind of power that is available to us. This is the kind of power, the life-giving power, the river that is flowing out from you as a Christ follower. That's the kind of power that we have. And yet, so many of us, we don't see ourselves that way. We say, well, Mitchell, you know, that sounds great, and that's even a little inspiring, and you may even be motivated to an extent upon hearing this, but still left with this disposition, that's left to the professional. That's left to the pastors. That's left to the priests. That's left to the people who are certified and trained. After all, in my own job, Monday through Friday, I have to be certified. I have to be trained. I have to be equipped to do my job. So the same must be true of what you're talking about. And if that's our disposition, we would be wrong. Because every single one of us is a pastor. Every single one of us is a priest. You see, well, yeah, but that's still, like, I don't think that I've got the gifts to carry out what you're talking about. I don't know a lot about the Bible. I'm not really good at this or that. There's not a lot of things I'm good at. So how could you say that I am the priest, that I am the professional? Listen to what Peter says. After receiving the blessing of Jesus and letting that blessing flow, Peter later wrote these words. As you come to him, talking about Jesus, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Quick lowdown on this. That there was this massive shift from an old system that required sacrifice, that required the priest to enter the place called the Holy of Holies once a year, offering a sacrifice for all the people, that they couldn't even go into that place, that it was restricted to the elite, the professionals, the priests. That was the old system. You could not even enter that place. You had to stay on the outskirts. You had to stay on what we might call the riverbanks and just be an observer. When Jesus came, that old system was turned on its head. And that old system became a new way of living, a new way of seeing ourselves, a new way of seeing the church, the gathering of Christ's followers. It was totally flipped on its head. And so when Peter says you, meaning you and I, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, he is blowing up the old system. He's saying, you are now the royal priesthood. There's no longer the official, by title only, priests and professionals. Peter turns it on its head and says, you are now the professional. You are now the priest. See, some of us are living in a day of the new system and the new way of Jesus. We're still living under the old system. And we're still living under that old system that says it's left up to the professionals. It's left up to the pastors and the priests. You know, the people that are trained, the people that are equipped, the people that are credentialed, not little old me sitting in the chair. You would be wrong. Every single one of us is a priest. Every single one of us is a professional. You have a parish. And your parish might be the neighborhood you live in. Your parish might be the school that your kids attend. Your parish might be the office where you work. Your parish might be your own family. But you have a parish. And we are all priests and we are all pros because Jesus, the ultimate priest, didn't see the blessing as something that would be kept and contained and held tightly to, but that would be extended out and flow like a river flowing out from him to his disciples, newsflash, including you and me. So I want you to look around this room. Go ahead. No, actually look around the room. What you see is a room filled with professionals. In fact, I want you to turn to someone next to you and go, you are a professional. Go ahead, do it right now. You are a professional. And God has called you and me to live out our commissioning by being a blessing to others. But what does this look like? It looks like moms and dads commissioning their kids to be a blessing at the school that they attend because they are the only students that can reach the students at that school. Bosses, if you are in charge of a group of people at your work, if you're a boss or a manager, you are a professional. And your occupation is not your primary profession. Your primary profession is as a hero maker. And it looks like you seeing your existence at that place as blessing the people around you and celebrating and elevating the success of other people, of being a hero maker. What if all of us saw ourselves as being for the purpose of elevating the people around us, of being a hero maker, of blessing others? See, we commission others when we speak life-giving words to someone else. That's commissioning. We commission others when we pray over them and even anoint them with oil. We commission them when we mark a special event or moment in their life where we send them out with the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the mission that God has given them. That is the mission. That is the great commission. To be a blessing to the people and places that God has given us. And so I mentioned earlier that we want to give you an opportunity this morning to be commissioned. And that means that you step out from where you're at, that you say yes to being a hero maker, that you, with all, even amidst your hesitancy, oh, I don't know enough about this, or I'm not sure I'm qualified or gifted, blah, 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 but that you step out from that and say, I don't have all the answers, but I know that Jesus does. And I don't feel much power, but I know that Jesus empowers. And I want to be used by him. And I want my life to count. And I want to make a difference to the people and in the places that God has put me. That's what commissioning is. See, we practice this at community. And Whenever someone steps into a leadership role, we commission them. Or whenever someone goes on a mission trip, we commission them. Or whenever someone just commits to planting a church, we commission them. We send them out empowered by the Holy Spirit because it's too big, too important for one person, one hero to accomplish by themselves. And so today we want that moment to be the moment where we commission you as a hero maker. There are already some of us in the room who are already hero makers. If you were a small group leader, whether it's kids, students, in Stucco, or adults, if you lead a group of people, if you're a small group leader, I want you to stand up. We have at least a few. Go ahead and stand up. And a couple in the back. You're a hero maker. And when you said yes to leading a group, you said yes to investing in the students or adults or kids that God has entrusted to your care. So let me be the first to say thank you for that. I want the others of you to join me in showing your appreciation to these hero makers. You guys can have a seat. What about the rest of us? I want to invite you to be commissioned as a hero maker. I want to invite you, I'm going to challenge you even to take some bold steps. To step out of your comfort zone. To step into what God might be calling you to do. To see yourself and your life as not being for the purpose of ending with you and your benefit, but being for the benefit and blessing of others. That's the challenge today. And so what I'm asking you to do specifically is as we begin to sing this next song in just a moment, that if you want to be a hero maker, if you want your life to be used as a blessing for others, that you would step out right from where you're at and that you would come forward and receive this blessing and be commissioned as a hero maker. Several of us will be down front. And we would like to commission you and we would like to bless you and send you out as a hero maker to the people and in the places that you live. Because this is too big. This is too important. This is too massive for there just to be a hero. But God is calling us to be hero makers. Because listen, I don't think I have to convince you of this. It's pretty dark out there. I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time realizing that it's pretty dark out there. There's a lot of dead things. Dormant things that if you want your life to be used by God to bring dead things to life, that you would step forward today and say yes to being a hero maker because that is what God has called us to be. And if it starts with the 40 or so people in this room, then that's who it starts with. It started with 12. Who said yes to Jesus, who left everything they had to follow him, who sacrificed and gave up their life because there was true life in him. And by following him, they were actually empowered to carry out the mission. So I know if 12 ordinary people can be empowered to carry out the mission, I know 40 or 50 of us can be empowered to do things that God has for us to do that we would never have imagined. So that's what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to pray in just a moment. And after I pray, the invitation is to come forward as the song begins and step into your life as a hero maker. This is the moment that the enemy is working to. This is the moment where the enemy is like, no, 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 you don't need to go out front. You don't need to go down there. You don't need to do that. I mean, you got things to do this afternoon. You got to go here. You got to go there. You got to go by the grocery store. Or you can't do that. Hero maker. Psh. If they really knew you, you wouldn't step forward. I pray that the Spirit of God would push back the words and the attacks of the enemy in this moment, that you would be emboldened to step forward and step into the life that God has called you to live. This is the life that is truly life. So I pray that you would come forward after I pray. and saying yes to being a hero maker. Because you are the professionals. Would you pray with me? Father, I ask that you would empower and embolden each and every person in this room to push back the attacks and words and discouragements of the enemy, the hesitations, the fears, the feelings of inadequacy, all of that, God, I ask that you would push them back, that you would empower each and every person with your spirit to step into what you are calling them to do and how you're calling them to live as a hero maker. I pray that your spirit would move in the midst of these 40 or so people, that from this gathering of 40 or so people, would that great things would happen. That stories would happen, that miracles would happen, that life change would happen in and through this group of people gathered in this room, God. Some that we will never know until much later. But that these would not be hollow words. God, empower us to be hero makers. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come forward if that's you today to say yes to being a hero maker.